A very good morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara. It's so good to see all your faces. It's really good to see Naomi. Everyone give Naomi a round of applause. It's wonderful to see her here this morning. Thank you for being here, and Cindy and David for bringing her. That's wonderful. And all your other faces, we're so glad to see you. Look at the size of this choir, guys. This is incredible, right? God is doing some awesome things. The choir is increasing in size, and we're just so excited to hear them this morning. We just want to invite, and we're going to have an announcement this morning about the green insert in your bulletin, so we're going to invite Patty to share a little more about the call slate. So Patty, come on down.
Good morning. It's that time of the year again when we have the call slate, the green insert in your bulletin, and we're reaching out to everyone to please fill it out. You don't have to be a member to fill it out, and you can also serve on a committee without filling it out. It's due by April 31st, I think, 30th. Anyway, it's due the last Sunday. Anyway, the box will be in the back to put them in. We need a new moderator or someone that is called for, maybe Pam again, an assistant moderator. And it'll tell you who is going out this year, and see if there's anyone you feel that would fit for this committee. Please put it in and pass them in. We're looking for more people to pass their papers in, because it doesn't give too many every year. So the more ideas, the better. Okay, we'll hope to have your paper in by the end of the month.
Thank you, Patty, and be sure to get your green papers filled out and get those turned in. We very, very much appreciate that. Just want to highlight this Wednesday, 7 to 8, in the pastor's office is the men's Bible study. So we'll be reconvening after having Spiritual Renewal Week, and we're looking forward to having men's Bible study. And today, you'll notice in the back of the church, there's buckets. Those buckets are for Greg and Jody Mill. They had a house fire, and they had to rebuild, restore, and so that's just to provide a love offering for them to help them in their process. And just to introduce Summer Volleyball League, we'd like to form two teams. So if there's anyone interested in playing volleyball this summer, you just need to be 14. You'll see the contact information. Everything I'm saying this morning is located in your bulletin, so be sure to check out your bulletin. It's full of all sorts of information. And April 11th, we just want to highlight a luncheon. It's for the widows, and that's at the Country Fair restaurant in Myerstown. So they'll meet at 11:30, and just let Gene Myers know if you'll be able to attend that. And again, that information is found here in your bulletin. Is there any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? If not, let's rise and greet one another and welcome each other to church this morning. Our journey to the cross this morning derives from Matthew 27, 27 to 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Would you join me in our congregational responsive prayer as we stand together? Lord Jesus, we hate being humiliated, yet it is nothing compared with yours on that first Good Friday. Enable your people to withstand humiliation, especially if it is for your sake, we pray. Empower your people to honor the glory of your name above our own status and success, and be close to us always, as you promised, in both the joy and humiliation that follow. Amen. It's always a joy to see all of your smiling faces, and I recognize Vera Gross is back from Florida, so we're excited to have Vera with us. Anyone else back from places they've been during the wintertime? It's always hard to see, like, past the fifth row, but I know you guys are back there. Hello. So good to see all of you, and it's glad to have you with us again. So welcome back, Vera, and of course, good to see Naomi and all of you here this morning. Are there any joys or concerns that you'd like to share with us this morning? You'll notice that Tim and Esther have been put on the prayer concerns, and we just continue to lift up Tim as he's recovering, and each day he's looking better and better, and we just are thankful. Esther is now back to skilled nursing out of the hospital as of Friday, so we're thankful for that good news as well. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share?
I like prayer for my brother-in-law, Randy Weidman. He's been having pain, and he's not one to complain, but pain down through his leg, and they've been doing tests and don't seem to be able to pinpoint what's wrong, but I'm praying they will soon find out.
All right, thank you. Yes.
I would like prayers for our friend Greg. He was sent to Johns Hopkins emergently this week. Last summer he had thyroid cancer, and from the scar tissue, his airway is collapsing. So they sent him and did an emergency tracheostomy. He's 37 years old, he's very young. Hopefully he'll be coming home tomorrow, but his wife doesn't like any blood or anything like this. So the thought of her having to suction him is almost putting her on the floor. So we need to pray for her as well. And her name's Cindy.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We thank you for the way that you continually move in our midst, and we're just overwhelmed by your interaction with our lives. And we know illness and sickness has stricken many, but yet, Father, you comfort us during those times. You demonstrate us that it's in our suffering our faith is most tested. And we just cling to you, Father, as we go through those trying times in our lives, recognizing that you indeed are near. We just thank you so much for those that are with us this morning and that have rejoined us after a stay in Florida or after being in a nursing home and able to come with family. We're just overwhelmed by their presence and thankful for them. And we just pray, Father, specifically for those on our prayer concerns and those lifted up this morning. We think of Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Carol and Pete and Bonnie and Lauren and Lugva and Glenn and Esther and Tim and Sue and Jane and Greg and his wife and Randy. And Father, you're specifically aware of each of their situations. You know the pain that they are going through right now. You know the status of their health. And we're just praying, Father, that you would lift them up, you would build them up and restore them, Father, by the power that you hold within you. We know through the New Testament the number of people that you have healed. And we're asking you, Father, if it would be your will, you would allow your healing to go forth, that seizures would cease, that the pain in legs would no longer happen, and the trouble with breathing, Lord, you would just allow your hand to be upon each of them. And as people recover and continue to deal with ongoing health situations, Father, we just trust them to your care. And we know that you are a God who cares deeply for your people. And we just pray too, Father, that you would be with those in harm's way. We know that churches meet and are persecuted. And we just think of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and lift them up in a very special way this morning and ask for your just special touch upon them. And those that are being held captive, we think of our sister Lugva and the other girls that are being held in Chibok, and just pray for their safety and for their return. And we just thank you, God, for your interaction in each of our lives. And we know, Father, those involved with sports, and we just pray your protection over our youth and our children who are playing sports and their parents who run them, that you would just guide them and protect them as they're playing things that they enjoy and the giftedness that you have bestowed upon them. And we just think, Father, as we go through this life of opportunities that often pass us, but we want to seize those opportunities to share our story with others of how you have brought healing, of how you've delivered us, of how you've shown us your way, and how that old self continually is being renewed. And we just thank you, Father, for that cross that shows forgiveness. And we just turn now and focus on the cross and focus on that empty tomb, knowing that we've been given life. And so, Father, hear our prayers for forgiveness and also those prayers upon our hearts. Father, we gather on this day to set apart a day to worship you. But Father, we know that's not something we only do on Sundays. We worship you each and every day of our lives, recognizing you for who you are, the Creator God. And as we go forth from these doors, we see how plants are starting to blossom in this springtime, and we just look forward to the sun shining more. But we do thank you for the rain that enables crops to be able to grow and the soil to gain its nutrients. And we just thank you, Father, for the way that seasons happen in this beautiful state of Pennsylvania. We especially, Lord, thank you for Little Swatara. We thank you for its members and its attendees. And Father, we know the work that you are doing in each one, and we pray that you would increase and allow them to know you deeper and deeper and to live more and more sold out lives for you and follow you ever closely. So thank you, Father, for meeting us here in this place and going forth with us as we leave this place. And may your praise always be on our lips. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd be amiss not to mention the rosebud on the altar representing the baby girl that's been born to Aaron and Laura Stupp. And so we congratulate them this morning. And the proud grandparents are Eric and Pat and great-grandma Adele. So the rosebud is in memory or an honor, I'm sorry, of the baby being born. And we're reminded day in and day out the new life that God gives us. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to share in the abundance that you have given us. We know, Father, the new life that is among us and the old self being gone, and we're just praying that you would continue to let us live in that new life. And we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to give and to allow the vitality of this church to continue. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The children, come join me up front. In the book of Psalms, David asked God to put his tears in a bottle. Do you see this little jar?
Yeah.
I call it my tear jar. These aren't real tears. It's just water, but it helps me remember the times that I've cried, and now I don't know if God keeps all my tears or all of your tears, but I know I do believe God sees our tears, and he hears us when we cry. Do you ever cry? Of course you do. Even you big boys who don't want to admit it. Even though they may say, big boys don't cry, we all cry. I made a list of some things that may make us cry. Have you ever fallen off your bicycle and got hurt so badly that you cried? You have?
I hurt my hand, and one time I fell off and my knee was bleeding really bad, and my dad wouldn't let me put a band-aid on it.
Have you ever slipped and fallen while carrying your tray of food in the cafeteria, and then cried because you were so embarrassed?
Well, I didn't cry, I just was embarrassed.
Have you ever moved to a new school where you didn't know anybody, and then cried because you were so lonely? Has anyone ever said something mean and hurt you, and then you cried because you didn't know how else to react? Have you ever just cried because your friend was crying? I think we can all say yes to at least one of these things. We all cry, don't we? Did you know that Jesus cried? The shortest verse in the whole entire Bible is, Jesus wept. What are some things that might have made Jesus cry?
When you're being bad.
When you're being bad.
When he had to get killed on the cross.
When he was killed on the cross. I know of at least three things that made Jesus cry. The Bible tells us that Jesus cried when he prayed for others. It says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears. It says Jesus cried there. Here's another example. The Bible also tells us Jesus cried when he saw people who were missing out on what God wants for them. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, I wish that even today I would find the way of peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from you. There's one more way. Another time, the Bible tells us that Jesus cried when his friends of his were hurting. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who became very sick. Do you guys know who Lazarus is? No? Well, I'm going to tell you about him. His sisters Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus and told him, asked him to come and heal Lazarus. But when Jesus arrived, do you think Lazarus was healed? No? Do you know what happened to Lazarus? He died. That's right. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw Mary weeping because her brother had died, he cried too. That isn't all that happened. Listen to what happened next. Jesus went with Mary and Martha and some of others to visit the grave where Lazarus was buried. It was a very large cave with a large stone across. Do you think someone could move that?
No.
No? When he arrived at the tomb, Jesus told some men that were there, take the stone away. Do you think they took the stone away? Then Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Do you think he came out? Yeah? And Lazarus walked out of the grave. I imagine that when she saw that happen, Mary's tears of sadness turned to tears of joy. We all cry, and I'm glad that we have a Savior who weeps too. I'm glad that he loves us so much that he hurts when we're hurting. He feels our pain. He knows how it feels. He sees our tears. And who knows, perhaps he does keep our tears in a bottle. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, it is comforting to know that when we cry, you cry with us. But it is even more comforting to know that when you have power over death and the grave, and that one day we will be in heaven with you, and then there will be no more tears. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Finally, my brother has risen. I was getting worried about you again.
How long was I out?
Don't be mad, but...
What?
We welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem yesterday.
Mary, why didn't you wake me?
I brought you back palm branches, though, to keep.
Mary!
I wanted to let you rest. You've barely slept at all since...
Life is a little different when you've been brought back to it.
Maybe so, but I still need you to rest.
No, sister. I need to be where he is.
I know you think you need to go out and find him right at this moment. But Lazarus, I need you to take care of yourself. I can't lose you again.
Okay. Tell me everything. What was it like? Did he preach? Did he perform miracles? How many people were there?
Well, there were people everywhere. Mm-hmm. He rode in on a donkey. Oh. And the road was covered in cloaks and palm branches. And everyone was shouting, Hosanna! In the highest! We must have done that for hours. I bet they could hear us all the way in Galilee. You know, after you died, I was so mad at Jesus.
At Jesus? Mary. I was dead, and now I'm alive. And it is only because of him.
But he knew that you were sick. And he took so long to get here. And in that moment, I felt like you were dead because of him.
Until I wasn't.
And it was in that moment that I realized that Jesus was everything we needed. Everything I needed, but nothing I expected.
Yes, Mary, yes. He did not come here riding on a triumphant horse for glory or to be allies with the powerful. He is power. He is glory. He is triumph.
He's a king, but one that actually loves his people.
He is a king that will go into death to save us, to stand in front of us, to call us out of our grave clothes, and to offer this life that only he can offer. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus.
He's the one.
He is the king. And he's come to save us all.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are the King. We thank you that you have indeed come to save us all. And Father, you know the hearts of each one of us that are gathered here today. You know how closely or how far from you we are. And we're coming before you this morning. We recognize that death is something we all experience. But we realize too, Father, your word tells us that death is not the end. And as we look at this story of Lazarus, we realize the power that you have to raise even the dead to life. And we thank you, Father, that at that trumpet call, if we have not already gone before, you will rise us up and we will be with you forever. But Father, we know while we remain here, you have called us to go, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know there's nerves and there's worry amongst us that we're afraid we might say the wrong thing. But Father, you have given us each a story. And each of our stories are unique. But you have written them with love, and you have shown us your compassion. You have demonstrated your ways in each of our lives. And whether we've ever experienced sickness or whether we just experienced the joy of being new, we know, Father, that you are real. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you this morning to turn with me to the book of John. We'll be in chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 45. And what we recognize is the death of Lazarus is one of Jesus' miracles that really speaks to us. Because we know that if death can be conquered, there's not anything Jesus can't do. So we're in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. This isn't anything uncommon to any of us. At some point in our lives, we've all experienced sickness. Sometimes that sickness comes and goes in a short period of time. And other times that sickness can often lead to hospital stays. And we've gathered by the bedside of someone who's been very sick. But we go on and it says he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it clarifies this particular Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now laying sick. It was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you were going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by the day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." And in good old disciple faction, they reply, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Father, we thank you for your word that is true, that is accurate, that we know that we too can take our grave clothes off and we can be free. But Father, we know how things enter into our lives. We know the sin that consumes us. And we can hear your voice saying into our Lazarus situations, "Come out." And Father, we long to be free. And we long to live for you. So we pray now that you would enable your word to speak, that we might know you even more. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've all heard the saying, "What goes up must come down." Well, this morning I'd like us to think about what goes in must come out. As we think about it, Jesus is in the business of allowing things to come out. As we turn our lives to him, this old sinful self comes out into this new life. It's a process easier said than done. It's a lifetime of letting go areas of our lives that don't line up with Jesus and in one way or another have gone in and they need to come out. Jesus uses words like deny ourselves in order to follow him. But let's be honest, the self is the most difficult to deny. The self has wants, the self comes first. It's what makes marriages all the more challenging. We're taking two individual selves and we're bringing them together as one. And this idea that you are more important than me becomes paramount. It's that word sacrifice that we learn to live out more and more. But the self has taken its own desires, its own earthly pleasures that they're sometimes hard to let them out. But think of it this morning like a splinter. How many of you have ever had a splinter in your lifetime? Most of us have had a splinter. We know how anxious we are for that splinter to come out. And the longer it festers, the more it hurts. The deeper it is, the more difficult it is to remove. But the bottom line is the splinter will eventually come out. It may be infected, but then we look at our own lives. Sin has a way of going in, and it'll hang out for a very long time. But know this, friends, sin will one day be found out. On the other hand, if that sin goes in, we turn to God, we seek the Spirit to work on our behalf, that sin can come out so much easier. It's like that with Jesus. If we let something come in, it starts to build. And you can almost picture a balloon that keeps inflating as you breathe into it. The pressure builds. But eventually, it's either going to pop from being overinflated, or we're going to give up and simply let it deflate. But imagine for a moment that balloon being inflated. You're spending time with God. You're communicating well, living a life reflective of Him. You're serving others in love. You're sharing Christ, forgiving, encouraging, and following His will. But then that splinter comes along. We call it suffering, an issue with our health. A loved one dies, a friend betrays us. That perfectly inflated balloon begins its path to deflation. Our faith weakens. We're not communicating all that well with God. We're losing interest in reading His word. We're stressed. We're worrying, and before long, this word depression starts to settle in, and something deeper and deeper within us needs to come out. Friends, I'll admit there were times in my life I'd sit by the creek at my cabin, and I would throw stone after stone into the water. And it was as if each stone that I threw became a harder throw until finally it released and I was able to simmer down. And God would almost be saying to me, "Have you had enough yet? What'd those stones ever do to you? All those waves and ripples that I was creating was like my life. One event after another having this ripple effect. The waves were continually crashing in against me. But they needed to come out." And so it is with our lives. You see, throwing those stones released something within me that caused pain. There's healthy ways for us to deal with it. Maybe you take a walk or a jog in God's creation and you simply breathe in and breathe out. Maybe you take a drive through the countryside, preferably on the Harley, to gain perspective. When life is pulling us in all directions, remember those words in John 11, 43, 44. "Lazarus, come out." And we know the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. But then Jesus said this to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Not only did Lazarus come out, but then his grave clothes were removed and he was free. Friends, we must recognize there's grave clothes that we're wearing. Jesus encourages us to let them come off in order to be let go. Now, I can't speak for each of you, but perhaps there's strips of linen filled with bitterness or envy. Perhaps there's a cloth that's filled with hate or unforgiveness. Know this, friends, Jesus says to us, "Come out," so that we can let it go. There's always going to be something within us that needs to come out. It's the life process of sanctification, something that'll keep us from fully following Christ. And we've been aware of the enemy's tactics. It's something that over time it will begin to wreak. But we know how it affects the total comfort God offers and the freedom that He longs for us. Remember that game hide and seek we used to play? And we would find as many people as we possibly could, but then as that game ended, we would yell out, come out, wherever you are. It's no surprise. God already knows where we are. He knew Lazarus was in that tomb. Others knew by the smell he'd been in that tomb for a while. But God also knows that where we are, we don't have to be. That circle we keep running and running around can be broken. Sinful habits were never meant to be. There's times we're not always even aware of our current state, and it takes a brother or a sister coming up to us and saying, "Do you recognize there's a way out from what you've been doing?" But it takes the cycle being stopped. It could be something in our lives that's been passed on from generation to generation. Something we simply got caught up in from work or from TV shows or from the music we listen to and consume on a daily basis. But here's the thing this morning. I want us to forget the number of laps that we've already made. Let go of that guilt that continually builds up day in and day out, and know that God loves you despite yourself. Think of it like this. It's a brand new race. New tracks have been laid out, and there's a new pit crew in charge. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this time around, we're chasing after our eternal reward. We're looking more and more like Jesus as we're building value for the kingdom. We're going for the win in accomplishing his purposes. But friends, you know this. It's your choice. It's your choice whether you'll come out of the starting gates for who he has made you to be. But imagine if we would all start our engines for Christ. And may the fuel be the Spirit and our will align with the Father's. Sure, there's going to be detours along the way. We're going to get a flat tire. Sometimes the engine may even need some repair. But keep your focus on the pit crew. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will supply all that you need to finish the race. But friends, the moment could not be any more appropriate than now to define that Lazarus situation. What needs to come out? And by Lazarus moments, we mean those things that are portraying death. But remember, in all those things, Jesus calls in that loud voice to come out. We're all too familiar with those areas in our lives. We've dealt with them long enough, and we're ready to shout. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you a few moments to allow the Lord to speak to you today. There's many things that you've been dealing with. You've been trying to restart this race called life, this journey towards eternity. But as we pray, those things may come to your mind, and we're going to say 1, 2, 3, and then Lazarus, come out. And in that moment, may we be willing to accept the freedom that Christ is offering us. Let us pray. Father, you knew us before we were even born. You knew us in our mother's womb. And Father, we are thankful but yet terrified at the same time. For you know those laps that we continue to make in our lives. You know those sins that continue to find their ways in. But today, Father, once and for all, we're praying that they would come out and that we would indeed be able to be set free. We know, Father, how the self can get in the way, how we enjoy control. But Father, you're saying, allow the Spirit to control you. So, Father, we are simply saying, reveal to us those things in our lives that we're already aware of, but those things we may not yet know in these next few moments of silence. Father, we know the journey ahead of us may not be all that easy. For we know when we start to let go of sin in our lives, the enemy becomes active and wants us to return to those. He'll identify those weaknesses and try as he may in Jesus' name, we know they can come out. But Father, we just pray that as we say together, Lazarus, come out, We would experience afresh, anew, the forgiveness that you offer us through the cross. And we would see that empty tomb. And we would know that our sins are forgiven and death has been conquered. So, Father, we thank you for who you have designed us and created us to be, that we might be image bearers of your Son, Jesus. And help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the count of three, why don't we stand up? Let's make this a moment of standing up, and then we'll go into our closing hymn. So on the count of three, we're going to simply shout, Lazarus, come out. One, two, three. Lazarus, come out. And what we recognize as Lazarus comes out of the tomb, he still has his grave cloths on. And we recognize in each of our lives, these grave cloths may represent something we're now aware of or may become aware of. So perhaps this grave cloth is forgiveness. There's someone in your life who you have not yet forgiven. And as difficult as it is to do, you've been trying to do it on your own. So we take this grave cloth of unforgiveness and we throw it towards the cross where we know it's been forgiven and you too can forgive. And we know this peace around the head is often the control in our mind that we have. We often know what the word says, but we don't often do what the word says. So we take this grave cloth of knowledge and being consumed with knowing more, and we take that and throw it towards the cross, recognizing we want to live out what we know, not for it to just stay in our head. And this one, very personal to me, and it's even more difficult to get off. This one in my life, and perhaps in yours as well, represents gluttony. Gluttony is the consumption of food without really needing to eat food. And so I personally, and hopefully some of you as well, can take this grave cloth of gluttony and throw it towards the cross and understand the design God has for our lives. And then this one is towards the hand. And we know that this strip of linen, this grave cloth, can represent coveting. Something that we long for, that we put in place of God and long for more than God. And so we take this grave cloth of wanting what someone else has or longing for something we really don't need, and we throw that to the cross, and we recognize that God longs for us to be content, to be satisfied fully in Him. And the grave cloths have just about been removed. And this one, we're not going to name it. This grave cloth belongs to each of you, whatever you decide it is, whatever God has revealed to you in this moment. This grave cloth is for that sin, that it can once and for all finally come out as we throw it towards the cross. So as we sing our closing hymn this morning, may we recognize Lazarus has come out, new life has been brought forth. We're no longer dead to sin, but we are alive in Christ. Would you join us in our closing hymn? The grave cloths have been removed. We are made new in the likeness of Christ. Day by day, may we learn to trust him more. May we know his peace. May we know his comfort. But most of all, may we know that there is a story within each of us that needs to be told of God's grace and mercy. May we go forth from this place and share that good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.